Tale of the Bull and the Ass.
Know, O my daughter, that there once was a merchant who owned much money and many men, who was rich in cattle and camels. He had also a wife and family, and he dwelt in the country, being experienced in husbandry and devoted to agriculture.
The wazir said to his daughter Shahrzad, "Now Allah, the Most High, had endowed him with the understanding the tongues of beasts and birds of every kind, but under pain of death, if he divulged the gift to any. So he kept it secret for very fear. He had in his cowhouse a bull and an ass, each tethered in his own stall, one hard by the other. As the merchant was sitting near hand one day, with his servants and his children were playing about him, he heard the bull say to the ass,
'Hail and health to thee, O father of waking, for that thou enjoyest rest and good ministering. All under thee is clean swept and fresh sprinkled. Men wait upon thee and feed thee, and thy provant is sifted barley, and thy drink pure spring water. While I, unhappy creature, am led forth in the middle of the night, when they set on my neck the plow and something called yoke, and are tired at cleaving the earth from dawn of day till set of sun, I am forced to do more than I can and to bear all manner of ill treatment from night to night. After which they take me back with my sides torn, my neck flayed, my legs aching, and mine eyelids sored with tears. Then they shut me up in the barn and throw me beans and crushed straw mixed with dirt and chaff. And I lie in dung and filth, and foul stinks through the livelong night. But thou art ever in a place, swept and sprinkled and cleansed, and thou art always lying at ease, save when it happens. And seldom enough, that the master hath some business, when he mounts thee and rides thee to town, and returns with thee forthright. So it happens that I am toiling in distress while thou takest shine ease and thy rest. Thou sleepest while I am sleepless. I hunger still while thou eatest thy fill, and I win contempt while thou winnest goodwill."
When the bull ceased speaking, the ass turned towards him and said,
"O broad of brow, thou lost one? He lied not who dubbed thee Bullhead, for thou, O father of a bull, hast neither forethought nor contrivance. Thou art the simplest of simpletons, and thou knowest not of good advisers. Hast thou not heard the saying of the wise? For others these hardships and labors I bear, and theirs is the pleasure and mine is the care, as the bleacher who blacketh his brow in the sun to whiten the raiment which other men wear. But thou, O fool, art full of zeal, and thou toilest and moilest before the master, and thou tearest and wearest and slayest thyself for the comfort of another. Hast thou never heard the saw that saith, 'None to guide, and from the way go wide'? Thou wendest forth at the call to dawn prayer, and thou returnest not till sundown, and through the livelong day thou endurest all manner hardship, to wit, beating, and belaboring, and bad language. Now hearken to me, Sir Bull. When they tie thee to thy stinking manger, thou pawest the ground with thy forehand, and rashest out with thy hind hoofs, and pushest with thy horns, and bellowest aloud, so they deem thee contented. And when they throw thee thy fodder, thou fallest on it with greed, and hastenest to line thy fair fat paunch. But if thou accept my advice, it will be better for thee, and thou wilt lead an easier life even than mine. When thou goest afield, and they lay the thing called yoke on thy neck, lie down and rise not again, though haply they swinge thee. And if thou rise, lie down a second time. And when they bring thee home and offer thee thy beans, fall backwards and only sniff at thy meat, and withdraw thee and taste it not, and be satisfied with thy crushed straw and chaff. And on this wise feign thou art sick, and cease not doing thus for a day, or 2 days, or even 3 days. So shalt thou have rest from toil and moil."
When the bull heard these words, he knew the ass to be his friend, and thanked him, saying,
"Right is thy rede,"
and prayed that all blessings might requite him, and he cried,
"O Father Wakener, thou hast made up for my failings."
Now the merchant, O my daughter, understood all that passed between them. The next day, the driver took the bull, and settling the plow on his neck, made him work as wont. But the bull began to shirk his plowing, according to the advice of the ass. And the plowman drubbed him till he broke the yoke and made off. But the man caught him up and leathered him till he despaired of his life.
Said the wazir, not the less, however, would he do nothing, but stand still and drop down till the evening. Then the herder led him home and stabled him in his stall. But he drew back from the manger and neither stamped, nor ramped, nor butted, nor bellowed as he was wont to do. Whereat the man wondered. He brought him the beans and husks, but he sniffed at them and left them and lay down as far for them as he could and passed the whole night fasting. The peasant came down next morning, and seeing the manger full of beans, the crushed straw untasted, and the ox lying on his back in sorriest plight, with legs outstretched and swollen belly, he was concerned for him, and said it to himself.
By Allah, he hath assuredly sickened, and this is the cause why he will not plow yesterday.
Then he went to the merchant and reported,
Oh, my master, the bull is ailing. He refused his father last night. Nay more, he hath not tasted a scrap of it this morning.
Now the merchant farmer understood what all this meant, because he had overheard the talk between the bull and the ass. So quoth he,
Take that rascal donkey and set the yoke on his neck and bind him to the plow to make him do bull's work.
Thereupon the plowman took the ass and worked him through the livelong day at the bull's task. And when he failed for weakness, he made him eat stick, till his ribs were sore and his sides were sunken and his neck was hayed by the yoke. And when he came home in the evening, he could hardly drag his limbs along, either forehand or hind legs. But as for the bull, he had passed the day lying at full length and had eaten his fodder with an excellent appetite and ceased not calling down blessings on the ass for his good advice, unknowing what had come to him on his account. So when night set in and the ass returned to the bite, the bull rose up before him in honor and said,
May good tidings gladden thy heart, O Father Wakener. Through thee I have rested all this day, and I have eaten my meat in peace and quiet.
But the ass returned no reply, for wrath and heart-burning and fatigue and the beating he had gotten, and he repented with the most grievous of repentance, and quoth he to himself,
This cometh of my folly in giving good counsel. As the saw saith, I was in joy and gladness, not save my officiousness brought me this sadness. But I will bear in mind my innate worth and the nobility of my nature. For what saith the poet? Shall the beautiful hue of the basil fail, though the beetle's foot over the basil crawl, and though spider and fly be its denizens, shall disgrace attach to the royal hall? The cowrie, I ken, shall have currency, but the pearl's clear drop, shall its value fall? And now, I must take thought and put a trick upon him and return him to his place, else I die.
Then he went, aweary, to his manger, while the bull thanked him and blessed him.
And even so, O my daughter,
said the wazir,
thou wilt die for lack of wits. Therefore sit thee still and say not, and expose not thy life to such stress. For, by Allah, I offer thee the best advice, which cometh of my affection and kindly solicitude for thee.
Oh, my father, needs must I go up to this king and be married to him,
said Shahrazad.
Do not this deed.
Of a truth I will.
Whereat he rejoined,
If thou be not silent and bide still, I will do with thee even what the merchant did with his wife.
And what did he?
Know then,
answered the wazir,
that after the return of the ass, the merchant came out on the terrace roof with his wife and family, for it was a moonlit night, and the moon at its full.
Now the terrace overlooked the cowhouse, and presently, as he sat there with his children playing about him, the trader heard the ass say to the bull,
Tell me, O Father Broad a Brow, what thou purposest to do tomorrow.
The bull answered,
What but continue to follow thy counsel, O Ali Buran? Indeed, it was as good could be, and it hath given me rest and response. nor will I now depart from it one little. So when they bring me my meat, I will refuse it and blow out my belly in counterfeit strength.
The ass shook his head and said,
"Beware of so doing, O father of a bull."
"Why?"
"Know that I am about to give thee the best of counsel. For verily, I heard our owner say to the herd, if the bull rise not from his place to do his work this morning, and if he retire from his fodder this day, make him over to the butcher, that he may slaughter him, and give his flesh to the poor, and fashion a bit of leather from his hide. Now I fear for thee on account of this. So take my advice, or a calamity befall thee. And when they bring me thy fodder, eat it, and rise up, and bellow and paw the ground, or our master will assuredly slay thee. And peace be with thee."
Thereupon the bull arose and lowed aloud and thanked the ass, and said,
"Tomorrow I will readily go forth with them."
And he at once ate up all his meat, and even licked the manger. All this took place, and the owner was listening to their talk. Next morning, the trader and his wife went to the bull's crib and sat down. And the driver came and led forth the bull, who, seeing his owner, whisked his tail and brake wind, and frisked about so lustily that the merchant laughed a loud laugh and kept laughing till he fell on his back. His wife asked him,
"Wherewit laughest thou with such loud laughter as this?"
And he answered her,
"I laughed at the secret of something which I have heard and seen, but cannot say lest I die my death.
Perforce thou must discover it to me, and disclose the cause of thy laughing, even if thou come by thy death."
"I cannot reveal what beasts and birds say in their lingo, for fear I die."
"By Allah, thou liest! This is a mere pretext. Thou laughest at none save me, and now thou wouldst hide someone from me. But by the Lord of the heavens, if thou disclose not the cause, I will no longer cohabit with thee. Leave me at once."
And she sat down and cried. Whereupon quoth the merchant,
"Woe betide thee! What means thy weeping? Bear Allah and leave these words and query me no more questions."
"Needs must thou tell me the cause of that laugh."
"Thou wouest that when I prayed Allah to vouchsafe me understanding of the tongues of beasts and birds, I made a vow never to disclose the secret to any under pain of dying on the spot."
"No matter. Tell me what secret passed between the bull and the ass, and die this very hour, and thou be so minded."
And she ceased not to importune him till he was worn out and clean distraught. So at last he said,
"Summon thy father, and thy mother, and our kith and kin, and sundry of our neighbors."
Which she did, and he sent for the Qazi and his successors, intending to make his will and reveal to her the secret, and die the death, for he loved her with love exceeding, because she was his cousin, the daughter of his father's brother, and the mother of his children, and he had lived with her a life of 120 years. Then, having assembled all the family and the folk of his neighborhood, he said to them,
"By me that hangeth a strange story, and tis such, if I discovered the secret to any, I am a dead man."
For, quoth everyone present to the woman,
"Allah upon thee, leave the sinful obstinacy and recognize the right of this matter, lest haply thy husband and the father of thy children die."
But she rejoined,
"I will not turn from it till he tell me, even though he come by his death."
So they ceased to urge her, and the trader rose from amongst them and repaired to an outhouse to perform wuzu ablution, and he purposed thereafter to return and to tell them his secret and to die.
Now, daughter Shahrazad, that merchant had in his outhouses some 50 heads under one cock, and whilst making ready to farewell his folk, he heard one of his many farm dogs thus address in his own tongue the cock, who was flapping his wings and crowing lustily and jumping from one hen's back to another and treading all in turn.
Oh, Chanticleer, How mean is thy wit, and how shameless is thy conduct? Be he disappointed who brought thee up? Art thou not ashamed of thy doings on such a day as this?
And what hath occurred this day?
Asked the cock.
Dost thou not know that our master is this day making ready for his death? His wife is resolved that he shall disclose the secret taught to him by Allah, and the moment he so doeth, he shall surely die. We dogs are all mourning, but thou clappest thy wings and clarinetest thy loudest and treadest hen after hen. Is this an hour for pastime and pleasuring? Art thou not ashamed of thyself?
Then by Allah, is our master a lack wit and man scanty of sense? If he cannot manage matters with a single wife, his life is not worth prolonging. Now I have some 50 dame partlets, and I please this provoke that and starve one and stuff another. And through my good governance, they are all well under my control. This our master pretendeth to wit and wisdom, and he hath but one wife, and yet knoweth not how to manage her.
Asked the dog,
What then, O cock, should the master do to win clear of his strait?
He should arise forthright, and take some twigs from yon mulberry tree, and give her a regular back basting and rub roasting till she cry.
I repent, O my lord! I will never ask thee a question as long as I live!
Then let him beat her once more unsoundly, and when he shall have done this, he shall sleep free from care and enjoy life. But this master of ours owns neither sense nor judgment.
Now, daughter Shahrazad,
continued the wazir,
I will do to thee as did that husband to that wife.
Said Shahrazad,
And what did he do?
When the merchant heard the wise words spoken by his cock to his dog, he arose in haste and sought his wife's chamber, after cutting for her some mulberry twigs and hiding them there.
And then he called to her,
Come into the closet, that I may tell thee the secret, while no one seeth me and then die.
She entered with him, and he locked the door and came down upon her with so sound a beating of back and shoulders, ribs, arms, and legs, saying the while,
Wilt thou ever be asking questions about what concerns thee not?
That she was well nigh senseless. Presently, she cried out,
I am of the repentant! By Allah, I will ask thee no more questions! Ouch! And indeed, I repent sincerely and wholesomely.
Then she kissed his hand and feet, and he led her out of the room, submissive as a wife should be. Her parents and all the company rejoiced, and sadness and mourning were changed into joy and gladness. Thus the merchant learned family discipline from his cock, and he and his wife lived together, the happiest of lives until death.
And thou also, O my daughter!
Continued the wazir,
Unless thou turn from this matter, I will do by thee what that traitor did to his wife.
But she answered him with much decision,
I will never desist, O my father, nor shall this tale change my purpose. Leave such talk and tattle. I will not listen to thy words, and if thou deny me, I will marry myself to him despite the nose of thee. And first I will go up to the king myself, and alone I will say to him, I prayed my father to wive me with thee, but he refused, being resolved to disappoint his lord, grudging the like of me to the like of thee.
Her father asked,
Must this needs be?
And she answered,
Even so.
Hereupon the wazir, being weary of lamenting and contending, persuading and dissuading her, all to no purpose, went up to King Shahryar, and after blessing him and kissing the ground before him, told him all about his dispute with his daughter from first to last, and how he designed to bring her to him that night. The king wondered with exceeding wonder, for he had made an especial exception of the wazir's daughter, and said to him,
O most faithful of counselors, how is this? Thou wottest that I have sworn by the razor of the heavens that after I have gone into her this night, I shall say to thee on this morrow's morning, Take her and slay her. And if thou slay her not, I will slay thee in her stead without fail.
Allah guide thee to glory and lengthen thy life, O King of the Age.
Answered the wazir,
It is she that hath so determined. All this have I told her and more, but she will not hearken to me, and she persisteth in passing this coming night with the king's majesty.
So Shahryar rejoiced greatly and said,
Tis well. Go get her ready, and this night bring her to me.
The wazir returned to his daughter and reported to her the command, saying,
Allah, make not thy father desolate by thy loss!
But Shahrazad rejoiced with exceeding joy, and getting ready all she required, and said to her younger sister, Dunyazad,
Note well what directions I entrust to thee. When I have gone into the king, I will send for thee, and when thou comest to me and seest that he hath his carnal will of me, do thou say to me, O my sister, art thou not be sleepy? Relate to me some new story, delectable and delightsome, the better to speed our waking hours, and I will tell thee a tale which shall be of our deliverance, and if so Allah please, and which shall turn the king from his bloodthirsty custom.
Dunyazad answered,
With love and gladness.
So, when it was night, their father the wazir carried Shahrazad to the king, who was gladdened at the sight, and asked,
Hast thou brought me my need?
And he answered,
I have.
But when the king took her to his bed, and fell to toying with her, and wished to go into her, she wept.
A younger sister, and seek would I take leave of her this night before I see the dawn.
So he sent at once for Dunyazad, and she came and kissed the ground between his hands, when he permitted her to take her seat near the foot of his couch. Then the king arose and did away with his bride's maidenhead, and the three then fell asleep. But when it was midnight, Shahrazad awoke and signaled to her sister Dunyazad, who sat up and said,
Allah upon thee, O my sister, recite to us some new story, delightsome and delectable, wherewith to while away the waking hours of our latter night.
Answered Shahrazad,
With joy and goodly gree, if this pious and auspicious king permit me.
Tell on.
Quoth the king, who chanced to be sleepless and restless, and therefore was pleased with the prospect of hearing her story. So Shahrazad rejoiced. And thus, on the first night of the Thousand Nights and a Night, she began with the tale of the Traitor and the Genie.
1001 Arabian Nights audio drama of The Bull and the Ass from Sir Richard Burton's timeless classic, The Arabian Nights Entertainment, features Michael Valenzuela as the King, Sean Chiplock as the Wazir, Chris Thurman as the Bull and the Cock, Karen Keeler as the Jackass, Robert Castiglione as the Merchant Farmer, Eric Pullman as the Farmer, Emily Dawkins as the Merchant Farmer's Wife, Zeke as the Townsman, S. Davis as the Townswoman, Odell Atkinson as the Dog, Karen Heyman as Dunyazad, Marguerite as Shahrazad, Tighten the Belt by Syed Darwish, Beauty of Drones by Simon Stockhausen, Nine Lies the Heart and Triller by ERH at Freesound. Sound effects from freesound.org. Enter in by Steve Irwin and Arabian Adventures at User Bakery. Licensed by Audiosparks.com. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved.